Good morning. I want to start off this morning by first saying thank you to Nate Faley for filling in for me while I was on vacation last week. I greatly appreciate it. Nate did a great job. Thank you, Nate. Also, I wanted to inform everybody, if you didn't already know, that we do have the new website. It's updated. It is up and running. If you get a chance, take a look at us. It's RaleighvilleChurch.com. Go check us out. With the new added website, we do have the online giving going on right now. So you can download the app. You can link straight to your bank account. You can give that way. But that is an added plus to the website that we've got going on. And also, now with the website, you can view the sermon on Sunday morning straight from the website, as well as Facebook, but you can do it straight through the website. The online giving, I've had a lot of different questions about it. It's very simple. It's very safe. It's very secure. My wife and I, we've set ours up to go straight through the bank account. It's pulled out automatic withdrawal every the first of every month. Makes it a lot easier, to tell you the truth. We've done all of this, and the stuff that we've been going on and the stuff that you've heard about, we sent the newsletter out last week. I'm hoping everybody got that. We've done all of this to try to make this as easy as possible for everybody out there, since we can't meet together. I understand that these new features aren't like being together in person. And you know what? But until we get back together, we're going to do as much as we can, even going forward, do as much as we can to try to continue that, continue to make things easier for everybody here to still worship and come together some way, form, or fashion. 2 weeks ago, I was driving in my truck listening to the Christian radio station here in Luray, 105.7, and a scripture came up. It was Matthew 6, 25 through 30. The disc jockey simply read the scripture, and then she spent about a minute maybe talking about this and what it meant to her. And that scripture has been stuck in my head ever since then. The last 2 weeks, all I can think about was this scripture. It's like getting one of those songs stuck in your head and then not being able to get it out, right? You know what I'm talking about? Getting the Andy Griffith song, theme song, stuck in your head, and then you go around whistling it for the next 2 days. You ever done that? That was me. I was off last week, and the entire week I had this scripture stuck in my head. So I knew when I came back what today's message was going to be on. The scripture goes along with what we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks. Even with what Nate spoke on last week, if you recall, 4 weeks ago, I spoke about fear, and that fear was not from God. 3 weeks ago, I spoke about having faith, more specifically, having a committed faith. Easter morning, I spoke about believing, and not just believing, but believing with your heart, not your eyes. Last week, Nate spoke about turning to God for everything in your life, especially during those storms, knowing that He will never leave you or forsake you. You know what all 4 weeks have in common? At the root of them all is one word: trust. Today I want to talk about totally trusting God in everything. I've titled today's message, Completely Trust God. Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, I come full of thanks. Being off a week and now coming back and trying to catch up, but at the same time just feeling at home in your home. Thank you for that, Lord. I pray for each and every individual as I'm up here today and I look out over an empty pews. I see faces of the people that are usually sitting in those pews. And as I said here, and I think about these people and these names, I pray for them And Lord, as I always do, I pray for the Holy Spirit's interaction in their life. I pray for that godly relationship that they need during this time. Lord, and I ask for you to consume their homes, consume their lives, and consume them as individuals. Lord, I pray that you be with our service today. Give me the words that you'll have me speak. And as always, I pray for every person listening or watching that they will get the words that come from you, not that I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've got your Bibles with you, do me a favor. Let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 6, 25 through 30. Now, as you turn there, I'm going to give you a little bit of insight on the Scripture this morning. Chapters 5 through 7, three chapters in Matthew, is Jesus giving his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching to a very, very large group of individuals. He starts off by, if you recall, he starts off by talking about the Beatitudes there in chapter 5. And he goes on and on, and he speaks about the law. He speaks about anger. He speaks about lust. He speaks about revenge. He talks about giving to the needy. He talks about money. He goes on and on and on. Three chapters, Sermon on the Mount. We could call this godly wisdom. He's teaching on godly wisdom. And our scripture reading today is tucked in right about in the middle, halfway point through Jesus' sermon. In our scripture reading this morning, we're going to get to it here in just a second. Jesus is giving us a sober reminding of where the heart and the mind is of a believer, where it could end up if we focus on the physical rather than the spiritual. So let me read. Matthew 6, I'm going to start in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It's not life more than food, and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Are you of little faith? Now, Nate, if you're out there and you're watching, didn't that how you finished up last week's reading of the Scripture? Oh, ye of little faith. I love it. I love to watch the Holy Spirit work. These last 4 weeks have not been planned. They didn't plan to come together. This is what was planned by the Holy Spirit, not me. I love it. I love to watch the Holy Spirit work. When you are focused, when you are more focused on the world around you rather than the provisions that God supplies, listen to me, you're going to have problems. That's what the Scripture is about. The wrong focus is what leads to anxiety. The wrong focus is what leads to worry. The wrong focus leads to problems. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, the world will creep in. Jesus' words are unmistakable. Look at verse 25 again. He says this. Start there, very first one. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. You say, Donnie, that's easier said than done. Well, you know what? I have to agree to a certain extent. But let me tell you something. This is coming straight from God's Son. All right? If you notice, it's written in red. Jesus is speaking this. It's coming straight from God's Son. And it's very important to understand why Jesus is using the words that he used. Take a look at there, verse 25 again. He uses the words, I tell you. There at the very beginning of verse 25. Now he could have said, therefore, don't worry. But he didn't. He put in there, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. He does that to get our attention. He's saying, I want you to pay close attention to what I'm saying because it's very, very important. He was saying that over 2,000 years ago, but he's saying it to us right now. God loves us so much that he wants us to sit up. He wants us to pay attention because what he's saying 2,000 years ago is equally important today. And he's trying to get our attention. Jesus is trying to get the crowd's attention long ago, but Jesus is trying to get our attention today. He says, I tell you, do not worry. Jesus goes on to illustrate this truth by focusing on two of our most basic needs, food and clothing. He breaks it down. Food and clothing. The birds are fed and provided for, and the wildflowers are clothed. Think about that. The birds of the air, the wildflowers out in the field, they don't have any concerns. You see, God loves them, but God loves us so much more. So why should we have any concerns? Why should we not trust? Jesus is saying, trust God for everything. If God provides for the birds in the air and the flowers in the field, don't you know that he's going to take care of his children? In the spring, we're all a witness to the miracles of life. I mean, you can't go outside your house without seeing the miracles of life. Everything you see right now, it's blooming. It's sprouting. It's growing. The animals are being born. And this all happens. Hear me out. This all happens because God is making it possible. We can all agree with that. But get this. We, God's children, are more important to him than the miracle of spring. Why wouldn't we have a complete trust in God? Jesus' words in this verse, they're very powerful. But let's not lose sight that the fact that we are hearing the words that I'm reading today, we are listening to the words from the mouth of our Creator. The Creator of the universe. The one who put the stars in place. The one that hung the moon. The one who controls the oceans. The one who holds the world. Back up. The one who holds the universe in his hand is telling us, don't worry. He's saying, trust me. I know what I'm doing. Now you would think that would be enough to cure us from worrying, wouldn't you? You see, the reason we worry is because we don't trust. We believe that we are in control. And we believe that we are the ones who have to take control of this life instead of turning it over to God. And by saying, you know what, whatever your will is, God, for my life, I'm going to trust you. I want to trust you and trust you and know that you know what you're doing. And here's what we're saying when we worry. We worry about life and the little things that happen in our life. We're saying this. We're saying, God, I don't think that you're big enough. I don't think that you care enough. So I am going to take control. I don't think you're big enough. I don't think you care enough to handle this. So I'm going to take charge. And I'm going to do this. And you know what God will say? He said, okay. He'll say, if that's the way you want it, then you can have it. If you don't want me to be in control, if you don't want me to handle, then I won't. But watch and see what happens. Listen to me. If God takes care of something as small as the birds and the flowers, don't you realize that he is more concerned with the well-being of his children? The one who takes care of the birds, the one who adorns the flowers, loves us so much in spite of our sinfulness. God loves and He values and He cares for us deeply. And we can confidently place our trust in God because of His unconditional love for us. Take a look at verse 31 through 32. It says this. So don't worry saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? He says, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. A lack of trust produces a life of worry. According to Jesus, worry is a Gentile mindset. Now, we'll equate Gentile to the opposite of the Jews. But in this context, and what he's getting at right here, he's referring to those who are outside the family of God. He's talking about unbelievers. That's why if you look in most of your Bibles, in the versions, updated versions, it'll actually use the word pagans. It's talking about unbelievers. So let me read that again for you really quick. It says, so don't worry saying what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear. For the pagans, for the unbelievers, eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Listen, people without Christ have every reason in the world to worry. To worry about the essentials of life. They express no trust in God. Their trust is only in their own ability. Their own ability to provide for themselves. So they gather. So they hoard. They do as much as they possibly can because they feel like they're in control and they have to do something about it. I'm reminded of what happened when the Israelites left Egypt. If you remember, they began complaining about having not enough food to eat. And God heard their complaints. And what did He do? He rained down heaven. He rained down heaven. He rained down manna from heaven. And when they asked Moses, what is this? Moses told him, this is bread from God. And then Moses told him, listen, I want to tell you something. You only need to collect what you can have in one day. Don't get any more. Only collect what you and your family can eat in one day. But did they listen? Nah. Some of them gathered more than they needed. What did they do? They hoarded it. They had leftovers because they gathered too much. And what happened? It rotted and got full of maggots. You see, they didn't trust God. They didn't trust God's Word. They didn't trust that God would provide. They trusted only in their own ability to provide for themselves. And we see the same attitude today. I look at our world, our society right now, and you see a world of people who are trusting only in their own ability to provide for themselves. I read a news article this past week. True story now. A California billionaire, he had a lavish underground bunker built in New Zealand. He could live there, hide out in this bunker in case of any catastrophic emergencies. Well, a couple weeks ago, this billionaire, he flew to New Zealand in his private jet to hide out in his bunker to ride out this corona pandemic. After getting to his bunker, he couldn't remember the combination to his vaulted door. You see, he had never actually been there before. He didn't know how to get in. He had this bunker that was built years and years and years ago. He never needed to go there. He gets there three weeks ago, and he couldn't figure out how to get in it. He had to call the builder to help him come and get in his $1 million hole in the ground. Well, this builder had built this years and years and years ago. He couldn't remember anything. I can't remember exactly how long it took him, but it took him for a long time for him to get into his bunker. After he got in, he couldn't figure out how to turn the lights on. So again, what did he have to do? He had to call the electrician do you remember where the electrical panel is? How do I get these lights on in my bunker? Again, this is built years and years and years ago. The electrician didn't have any clue. Finally got the lights on. After he got the lights on, he couldn't figure out how to get the water turned on. Finally got the water turned on. He couldn't figure out how to turn the hot water heater on to get hot water. This went on and on and on. I couldn't help but laugh. All I kept thinking was, here's this man, right? Here's this billionaire. This man that had become so dependent on himself. He'd become so dependent on his own abilities. He'd become so dependent on his own money and his own independence. He couldn't figure out how to live without somebody else's help. Now listen here, we can all chuckle at that. We can shake our heads and maybe even disbelief. Or we can laugh and agree. But you know, we're not always that different. Sure, we don't have the billions of dollars. We don't have the private jets. We don't have the fallout shelter in New Zealand. But let me ask you this. Who and what do you put your trust in? Do you put your trust in your own abilities? In your own accomplishments? In your money? In your job? Or do you trust the one that created you and wants to take care of you? That's simple. Without Christ, you know, it's easy for our minds to be consumed with that American dream. Accumulation, man, that's what it's all about, right? That's the name of the game. We seek the things of the world to give us identity, a sense of accomplishment, a sense of value. And most of these things, right, they're not always bad. We all want a nice house. We want a nice car. We want a decent salary. But if we're not too careful, see, we end up letting these things define us. Our trust becomes our own ability to perform in order to get what we think we need or what we think we want. But what do we do? What do we actually do when we achieve it? All right? Sitting right next to us in our nice homes is a void, a hopelessness, and a lack of peace. None of these things truly satisfy us. We're left with wanting more. And when we get it, we want more and more and more. It boils down to a matter of trust. You see, without Christ, our trust is in the wrong place. Trust should be placed in God, who does for us what we need. Do me a favor. Underline that phrase in your Bible in verse 32 where it says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Do that as a reminder that God knows and provides for all your needs. If you got to put a little star right next to it, circle it. Do what you got to do. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows what your needs are. And get this, He started with our greatest need, our number one need. He started with that. That should tell you something. That need, we needed a Savior. Philippians 4:19 says this, and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Think about how God provided for our greatest need. We're sinners in need of a Savior. God saw that need and He sent His Son, His greatest possession. People, He met our need before we even knew what we needed. That should tell you something. We were separated from God, so Jesus lived the sinless life that we couldn't live. only to be crucified on a cross as payment for our sin. You want to talk about a need? That's awesome. When we place our faith in Jesus, we're trusting, complete trust, that our greatest needs will be met, that our greatest need is met. And since God has taken care of our greatest need, shouldn't we fully trust Him to take care of all the rest of our needs? Psalm 66, 18 through 20 says this, "If I had been aware of malice in my heart, the Lord would have not listened. However, God did listen. He has paid attention to the sound of my prayer. Blessed be God. He has not turned away my prayer or turned His faithful love from me." You know what that passage tells me? It tells me that God doesn't have a hearing problem. Amen. He hears our requests. Psalms chapter 50, verse 10 says, "For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills." You know what that tells me? It tells me that God doesn't have a providing problem. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Didn't say a thousand cattle on a hill. A cattle on a thousand hills. God owns it all. That's what He's getting at. He says, "I own it all. It's all for me to give. It's His to provide." Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one of my most favorite verses. It reminds us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all the ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." You know what that tells me? God doesn't have a timing problem. He provides what we need when we need it. And He knows the need before you do. God knows your needs. He just needs you to trust Him. Let me finish up by reading the last two verses of this scripture this morning. I want to talk about verses 33 through 34. Very, very important. It's like a cherry on the cake right here. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow can worry for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I love it. Jesus starts off verse 33 with a but, right? He's teaching us over the last eight verses. He's telling us about priorities. He's telling us about trust. He's telling us about not to worry. He goes through all of this. He's telling us all of this. He's teaching us. And he gets to verse 33, but he says, "But." He said, "I'm giving you this wisdom that you need, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." All these things will be provided for you. He's talking about clothes, right? He's talking about food. He's talking about drink. He's telling about everything that we would worry about. And he says, but. Teaching us over eight priority trust, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be provided for you." This is our Lord Jesus Christ telling us this. Seek first the kingdom of God. The word Jesus used for seek means to desire. It means to pursue. It means to passionately chase after. In these last two verses, Jesus is saying, when you seek after me, when you seek after what I think is important, then I'm going to take care of all your needs. Instead of being consumed with the temporary things of this world, we're called to be consumed. Listen to me. We're called to be consumed with a desire for God and the things of God. It's not that the cares of this life aren't important. They are. And God knows that. I mean, even Jesus invited us to pray for these things. If you remember the Lord's Prayer, starts off, give us this day our daily bread. We still need to pray for it. God knows what our heart wants and what our heart needs. But Christ is to be our very first priority. Jesus is saying when we focus on Christ and we pursue Him, He takes care of everything else. Knowing God better and serving Him more faithfully is what we should be doing every single day. It's what it means to seek God's kingdom. When we set God's kingdom and His righteousness as our daily targets, we learn to place our lives in His hands in complete trust. Completely trust that He'll provide for our needs. As our trust in God grows stronger, we see our troubles and worries subside. Instead of worrying, we become more centered on the Lord and then focused on being obedient to what He has called us to do. Being in the Lord's company and enjoying His presence will matter to us way more than anything else. And His kingdom becomes our priority. And when this happens, the trivial things that we worry about in this life, they fade away. They don't seem to be so important anymore. I'm going to close with this. Completely trust God for everything. And realize that the same God who created you, the same God that breathed air into you, He can be trusted with the details of your life. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I'm so glad. I am so at peace and so full of joy knowing that You are God and I am not, that You are in control and I don't have to be. Lord, thank You for that. Thank You for living a life of knowing where my trust is and who it comes from. Lord, I do continue to pray for every individual here at this church and also beyond. With everything that we've got going on through this pandemic and the situation, but Lord, at the same time, I always pray that Your will be done in it. And Lord, I pray for every individual here that we, as individuals, as the church body, that we are seeking Your will and Your ministry through it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.